Welcome to an audio lesson from Seat of the Soul Institute.
I'm Gary Zukav.
And I'm Linda Francis.
And today we're going to talk to you about a spiritual partnership that we know well. In fact, it's the spiritual partnership that we know the best, and that's our spiritual partnership.
I'm really looking forward to sharing with you about this because it's so special for me, and I really love sharing about it because I know that spiritual partnership is a really important new kind of
relationship
that is coming into being.
Before I met Linda, relationships to me usually began with a sexual attraction. And in fact, they usually didn't go much beyond that. And my relationship with Linda was very different from anything I had experienced prior to that time in my life. I met Linda at a retreat. I was a presenter and she was a participant. And the first thing I noticed about her is that I wasn't attracted to her. Of all the people at the event, I seemed to be pushing her away inside. And this was curious to me. In physics, they would say it's an anomaly. It's something different. And so I decided that I was going to explore why this one person who didn't seem to be threatening at all was somehow someone that I clearly felt that I didn't want to get close to.
And the funny thing is that I knew we were being connected. It wasn't like a sexual attraction for me, as most of the time it would be in relationships with men. But I knew that we were being connected somehow. And in fact, during the retreat, we kept being put together. Friends would save seats for me and for him, and then it would end up being seats that were together. So it was just a very interesting situation. And I could also feel how Gary was very resistant to me, very resistant, I felt, probably to be in a relationship. And so it was an amazing thing. And the other thing that was going on with me that's important for you to know is that I had read Gary's first book in 1979, The Dancing Woolly Masters. I'd also read The Seat of the Soul in 1989. And they were so important to me, the books. And so for me, not only did I know we were being connected, but I also knew that I felt so inferior to him. I felt like I was unworthy to be able to talk to him. So it was a very unusual circumstance for me.
So I had mixed feelings by the time the retreat was over. It lasted about a week. On the one hand, I was glad that it was over, and I was a little puzzled and almost angry in some way that so much of my thoughts were beginning to revolve around Linda Francis. Was I going to be doing this with her? Was I not going to be doing that with her? Were we going to be joining friends or not? And yet at the same time, she had become somebody over the course of this retreat that now and then I began to speak to. And each time I spoke with her, it was about things that were very significant to me and things that were important to me. And I hadn't had that kind of a relationship before, especially not with a woman. And so because of that, I was sorry to see the retreat end.
The interesting thing for me is during the retreat, when Gary would, he came up to me a few times and we talked, and he would say things that were real, that were, I felt were honest. And I was so excited about that because I had never had a really great relationship with a man in all my relationships. And I really wanted what Gary called in The Seat of the Soul a spiritual partnership, but I had no idea how to have that happen. And when he started speaking to me about real things, I was so excited about that, and I began to experiment doing the same thing. And it was just an amazing experience for me. But I had a really interesting experience, though. At the end of the retreat, I had actually planned to move to the small mountain town where Gary was living, where the retreat was being held. And when I realized we were being connected, I went home saying, I'm not going to move there because I don't want my moving to this place to have anything to do with a man. So I went home.
And I stayed in Mount Shasta. That was where this little community was located. And the next thing I knew, Linda called me to say that she was moving to my little town.
Oh, that was an amazing thing. I woke up about a couple days after I got home from the retreat and realized I'm still supposed to move there. Whether or not the relationship happens or not with Gary, I'm supposed to move to this place because that's where I know I'm supposed to move next. So I did. And I called Gary to let him know because I didn't want him to find out from someone else. So I called him, even though I had a feeling he would be uncomfortable with that news.
I was. But Linda and I began to see each other now and then. And over a course of several months, I began to look forward to our interactions. For the most part, we would get together, usually in my cabin, and we just talk. Or we'd be together and we wouldn't talk too much. And sometimes I would enjoy being with her, and other times I felt uncomfortable. The curious thing to me was that even though sometimes I felt uncomfortable being with her, I still looked forward to being with her the next time.
And I really was enjoying being able to have real communications with a man. It was so exciting to me. And at the same time, I was still having to, I still felt all that unworthiness. So it was hard for me to really believe that Gary would even want to talk to me. I had that feeling for a long time, actually. It took me a long time to get over that, to actually see that that was a fear-based part of my personality that felt that way. And I was so excited to begin to heal that, to begin not to feel that way about him. It really felt so good to do that healing.
After about 4 or 5 months, the thought occurred to me, I think I'm in a relationship. And it was a strange thought because there wasn't the sexual component that was all of what relationships were for me in the past. And I never had an interaction with someone like Linda, so I didn't know that that was a relationship. But something in me suggested to me the thought that I had entered a relationship. And it was actually an interesting and an exciting thought.
And the interesting thing for me is that I knew that it would be, we both knew it would be important not to have a sexual relationship. We were very clear with each other that that would really muddy up what we were doing together. And I really honored that so much because I had always rushed into relationships and had sexual interactions with someone I was attracted to. And I knew that that didn't work because it always ended up painfully. So I was so excited about being able to experiment in this way with speaking and having meaningful conversations and not having the sexual aspect be a component of it. And I didn't know if it ever would be, but I knew that I needed to go forward in this relationship no matter what.
It was a big step for me too. At that time, I had been what I considered a secular monk for quite a while, about 7 years. And that means that having been a sex addict prior to that, I had decided that I wanted to come to terms with my sexuality and or my sexual addiction to be specific. And I felt that the way to do this was to be celibate. It turns out I realized that that wasn't a very good way to do it because I was running away from something that was frightening me very much, and that was my own sexuality. And that's where I was when I met Linda. I'd been this self-proclaimed, not to the world, but to myself, secular monk, which means I wasn't a Christian or Buddhist or Hindu or Muslim. I was just drawn to the idea of a monk-like existence, a monastic life, but not in a monastery. And so I also felt that it was important not to introduce the element of sexuality or to act on the element of sexuality in our relationship because something deeper than that wanted to happen.
And what that deeper is, what I call it, is a spiritual partnership was forming. We actually called ourselves spiritual buddies for a long time because we really wanted to be able to explore saying things that we had never spoken to other people about, especially other partners. So it was, and it's been a really, it was a, such an exciting time. It's for me to explore in that way. And I love the fact that we did not have a sexual relationship. I really love that because we waited for quite some time before that ever became a component of our relationship so we could be really sure that what we were doing was an actual spiritual partnership where we had formed a relationship between equals for the purpose of spiritual growth. That was exciting to me.
So that's the outline of how we came together in a relationship. And you can see it's very different from a romantic attraction in which the individual is filled at the other is perfect and completes them, in which there is a sexual attraction, which may be an expression of a sexual craving that's really not attached in a loving way to one person. And instead, I found myself involved with another individual, a woman, Linda Francis, in a way that was more meaningful to me and more significant to me than I ever had been in a relationship before. And now we're sitting here side by side recording this about 14 years later. And it's still an exploration and it's still a challenge. But we wanted you to know how this mutual exploration of ours began.
And I want to let you know we'll be sharing more about our partnership and many other things in future audio lessons. And we're so looking forward to doing that with you.
This has been a presentation of Seat of the Soul Institute. Please come to seatofthesoul.com for more information, resources, tools, and support for your quest for authentic power in spiritual partnership.